All right, I think we'll begin. I know a couple more people will be coming on, so we'll just bring them in as they arrive. Anyway, welcome to what has, for the most part, been a biweekly KISSA Zoom roundtable. Thanks for your time today. My name is Reese Brown. I'm the executive director of KISSA and your host today. These calls are member benefits, and your membership allows KISSA to continue to do the work that that we do, and hopefully that you found some benefit working through through COVID this this year. Certainly, we've had a long summer, spring, summer, and fall, but winter is finally upon us, which is super exciting. And now we're going to be able to test everything that we talked about and put in place all summer. So this should be an exciting call. We will be focusing today on learnings from recently opened ski areas. Our panelists will discuss plans that they put in place leading up to the opening, and then changes that they've made as soon as they open or within days of opening once they were able to really troubleshoot some of those plans. We encourage all call participants to ask questions. There is a chat button down below. Love for you to ask any questions, share any ideas that you have. This is supposed to be as collaborative as possible. Please keep your mic muted unless you're invited to speak. And we may run just a little over our 1 hour today. We've got a pretty big panel, and my guess is we'll have a lot to discuss. With that said, let me introduce our panelists. We have Christy Hicks, executive director from the Crested Butte Nordic Center out in Colorado. Sally Jones, manager of Tahoe Donner Cross Country in California. Richard Hodges, president of the KISSA Board of Directors and Nordic Director of White Pine Touring in Utah. Chris Cheney Seymour, who will be joining us a little bit late, is Nordic Director for Mount Van Hovenberg in New York. And Nick Mahood, Nordic Center and Recreational Trails Director from the Woodstock Nordic in Vermont. Christy, we'll start with you. I don't see you, but I know you're on here somewhere. You opened, I think, at least two weeks ago. Can you share with us what opening day and that opening weekend was like, and how the plans you put in place were tested that day?
Yeah. Can you all hear me? My camera is not doing so great today.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Well, you can just hear me then. Yeah, we had enough snow this year to open the same day that our shop opened on November 14th. And, from the minute we opened, we have seen just pretty much record-setting crowds for this time of year. We had normally the first 2 weeks leading up to Thanksgiving are pretty slow. We only have 5 kilometers of trail open, but we had visitors and residents alike utilizing those 5K of trail. Our season pass sales, our preseason pass sales were up 35% above normal. And then they've continued to track ahead of normal. So now we're actually, our total pass sales are up 45% over normal this time of year. And by the time we got to Thanksgiving, we really saw sort of the crowds starting. It was about half our maximum traffic. So if like you took our busiest day that we've ever had, it was about half that, but that it was still about 10 times more than we normally see over the Thanksgiving holiday. It's just typically not that busy for us. So we have decided not to open our Nordic Center to the public because we have a small enough Nordic Center that just the staff required to fulfill rentals and sell passes actually maximizes our square footage capacity according to our public health regulations. So we are just doing window pickup. And we sort of had anticipated, we're like, oh, we'll have a line here and a tent here for people to put on their stuff. And we realized during Thanksgiving week that was about, I don't know, a fifth of what we needed to. We needed like 5 times more of everything. We needed 5 times more space for the line. We needed more benches outside for people to put to try things on. We needed to create better flows for people arriving so they knew exactly where to go and where to stand, and then where to exit and where to return as well. Again, we had mapped these things out in theory and then were just completely, not completely overwhelmed, but pretty overwhelmed by the number of people who actually showed up. So we were able to, you know, I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday of Thanksgiving week, I just called in the cavalry and we set up new flows and expanded systems and have come up with new roles for people. But it was really, you know, we thought we were going to be pretty busy and popular this time of year. But it really exceeded our expectations by a lot. And the last thing that I will say that really contributed to our crowds over the Thanksgiving holiday was that a lot of folks came into town thinking they would go ski up at the resort, the Alpine Ski Resort, and they were unable to get reservations. I think because there was limited terrain open, there were limited reservations available. And so all those people wanted something else to do, so they came to see us. So could be relevant for some other areas that might have adjacent reservation-based alpine areas.
Great. Yep. No, that's good. I have a couple questions, Christy. You guys had talked about all summer creating a new rental system, this online system that all your rentals were going to go through. How did that work? I know it was a new system, and how did that work out of the box?
Yeah. So the online rental system, we went with a new program that is just a couple years old. So we're actually working pretty closely with the developers to tailor things for Nordic. And, you know, we were expecting to have those 2 weeks between when our shop opens and when the Thanksgiving holiday hits to hone our systems. And man, we just got thrown right into the fire. But after working out a couple kinks with the rental system, it's working really well. We use it. It's what's great is that it tracks all of our inventory. Our members have figured out how to use it pretty easily now because we do a lot of community rentals for our programs and kids programs and things like that. And they all have to reserve their equipment in advance. So we've been able to train our members pretty well so far. And then it's the public. I think the biggest issue is with our rental system is that people don't always know what they want, right? They don't know if they want snowshoes or skis. And so we're working on our website in advance of the holidays to kind of walk people through those. And we've been shooting a few videos to help people understand those differences as well. And we'll see if they are utilized over the holidays. But frankly, having an online rental system has been phenomenal for our staff. You know, like before the shop closes at night, they pull all the gear for the next day. They have it out. It's labeled. People show up at the window. We take it outside. They put it on and go. If we, you know, sometimes occasionally boots need to be switched and we're working out the systems for that. But all in all, it's pretty great. And then we were able to secure some iPads so that if people walk up and don't have reservations online, we go either outside and walk them through it, or we give them the information to like go back to their car and do it themselves. And it's strangely working. We'll really be tested over the Christmas holidays.
Christy, not only do you have that new system, but you are keeping everybody outside. I know there's a few other ski areas that are doing that. How is the process of getting that person, I guess, to your site through whatever registration or, you know, however they check in, and then getting the equipment to them outside and putting boots on? Has that been working pretty well?
Yeah, once we figured out how to space it. So we have a kind of large open space in front of our Nordic Center. And so they come, they check in at a window, and then they go take a seat. We actually have like a corral outside set up with a bunch of benches, and we'll have pop-up tents there too when the weather, it's been real nice here. But when the weather turns, we'll have some like 3 or 4 tents available as well. We probably have 6 or 7 benches out there right now. And so they check in, they go to a bench, and then our staff actually comes out with their equipment and can show them how to put it on right there and that sort of thing. And then if they need to switch out boots or anything, that can happen as well. And the benches are all labeled with letters, so we can, you know, communicate with ourselves and say like, hey, the folks at bench E need a new pair of size 40 boots. And that's kind of how we're dealing with it. I've been thinking too about Nordic centers that are allowing people inside. And I think unless you just have unlimited indoor capacity, having some sort of outdoor line system. I mean, we were really just shocked at how many people wanted to go Nordic ski and continue to want to go Nordic ski every day.
And certainly we've talked about that all summer long. It's like, you're not going to have a, you know, kind of a gradual opening to holiday week. It's going to hit you day one. And I think everyone has mentioned that. Christy, let's talk about staffing. And how that fits, you know, what are your thoughts on kind of your preliminary thoughts on staffing? And then did any of that change due to COVID?
Yeah, so at first, you know, when we were budgeting back in May, we actually thought that our overall numbers would be down due to just reduced tourism. It doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. People seem to be coming here no matter what. That could be different if your state has more restrictive travel or resort regulations right now. But we kind of thought we might have to understaff at first, and then it became, because especially with the rental system on and no one coming inside, we're like, how many people do we really need? But this system needs more people than we expected. So I'd say our kind of our base staff that we have here on a daily basis is, it hasn't doubled, but it's getting close. Whereas we might normally have had 2 or 3 people on during this time of year, we've pretty steadily had 4 or 5. It's partly because we're already busy. So that's about as many as we can handle for the holidays. Like our Nordic Center is too small for more than about 5 or 6 employees. But we are increasing the number of folks that we'll have outside kind of directing traffic. And our staff will also rotate through those roles so that they don't freeze to death. But we're really like, I guess the outside of the Nordic Center has just become as big of a focus for flow and traffic as the inside. And that has been kind of a big takeaway for us. And I think will be relevant to many centers, even if they are allowing people inside, just because everyone has reduced capacity. So just making sure people know where to go is critical. And the other thing I found is that even though, let's say, half the people don't actually read the signs and still need help, having a ton of signs out there has been helpful for us so that we can bring in volunteers to help direct flow more easily, because then they can just read the signs to people. That's been right. A surprising outcome.
Right. And so, all right, my final question is about your revenue streams. And this is something, again, that we've talked about all summer long. Most of our, you know, medium-sized ski areas aren't in a position to just cut off various different revenue-producing elements of their business. I know some Alpine people have talked about that. How has COVID affected your revenue streams? based on what you've experienced so far, and also speak to that increased staffing. Are you able to cover that with the increased traffic that you're seeing so far, based on what you know has been at this point?
Yeah, so our revenue streams, despite being up like 45% for our season pass sales to date, our other revenue streams are being devastated. Events, and we do yurt dinners as well, these ski and yurt dinners, are more than a third of our annual income, and those are looking, the yurt dinners we've delayed until at least Valentine's Day, and events are looking less likely, even if we are able to pull off like our Alley Loop Nordic Marathon. We're not sure people will want to come to travel when our county currently has a 7-day quarantine for people traveling from outside of the county. Doesn't seem like anyone's following that, but but that's what they're stating. So those revenue streams are being reduced, but we're also not, experiencing the expenses that are normally related to those. So when we consider the net for all of those programs and events, it remains to be seen if the gains in our Nordic Center will make up for those, but it's looking like it might, so that we might not have to basically lay off any of our staff that are typically responsible for the events and yurts and stuff like that. We are reallocating our staff wherever possible to kind of help with the core programs that we have going on right now. So that being said, the extra staff that we are hiring right now for like front desk rentals, tons of instructors. We have a lot of community programs going on right now, and which are like extended lessons, like 6-week sessions, things like that. And then just tours and all of that, they're through the roof. And so we're having those programs typically pay for themselves. So we feel pretty good about hiring extra staff to do that. The main issues we're seeing is just the events, like not being able to host our large races this season is right. Really hurting.
Awesome. All right, Christy, thank you. We may come back to you. She did touch on one point that I just want to reiterate but don't want to discuss, and that is travel restrictions to various states. And that's been a discussion point everywhere. And certainly where I am in Vermont, we have probably the most stringent travel restrictions. And we know these people are here, and we know that they probably have not followed the rules. So let's just leave that there and move on to Sally Jones in California, Tahoe Donner. And Sally, I'm going to start with that same question. Talk to us a little bit about that opening day and what it was like in terms of your numbers and your flow and your expectations for that first day.
Yeah, thanks, Reese. We got open on the 27th, the day after Thanksgiving. That was a published opening date, but as usual, Mother Nature didn't make it a definitive, definitely we're going to open. We had maybe 6 inches of snow, and we're still skiing on that now, despite 50-degree temperatures. So everything was a little rushed because we really didn't know. We didn't think we were going to be able to get open, but we were able to somehow pack it, and we've had some pretty incredible skiing on our upper mountain. But we're definitely starting to feel the toll of icy conditions lower down. And we started off pretty strong on that first weekend. We didn't offer lessons. We just didn't feel like we were quite ready. We wanted to make sure we could get people with tickets and get people with rental equipment, and just didn't want to add that element of ski school in. So we waited till this last weekend to start with lessons, which in hindsight was a great decision. Our biggest challenge has been our new online reservation system. It was all tested and was working fine from the front end. We all knew people could buy things, but it was all very last minute in the end. And so we, first day in the rentals, we weren't able to fulfill any of the orders. And we had people in the rental shop way longer than we'd anticipated. So we gave away a lot, didn't record a lot, and just got people out skiing. A lot of that's fixed now, and we've been able to fine-tune, which we knew we would, and we've gone to much more like a curbside pickup, similar to what Christie's doing. However, we have a much bigger, luxuriously sized rental shop, so we are pre-pulling the equipment the night before or the morning of, and same kind of idea, but they're walking through the rental shop in order to pick up that gear. So we're feeling much more comfortable with that than trying to pull gear while they're in the rental shop. That was just getting a little scary, even though just one family at a time, we were just like, this is too slow for when we hit Christmas. And numbers have been really good for season's pass holders. Not as impressive as we thought they would be for day trippers. I think a lot of it is because of our conditions, and we've been very upfront about the fact that we're limited beginner terrain, just so we really want to minimize the possibility of anybody getting hurt and having to deal with that during COVID times. Plus, we've gone to pre-sales only. State of California instigated that last week, I think it was, just as, to Christie's point, we were getting the iPads installed outside, portable, so we could bring them in at night because people couldn't buy stuff on their phones. So we thought, okay, iPads. And I've got the IT department installing them right as I'm sitting on the State of California call saying, you know, no day of sales. It's like, oh no, forget the iPads. So now I think that's affecting our daily ticket sales because it is a little bit lumpy still for people to be able to buy products. We weren't able to release products for sale too far in advance because our temperatures were sitting at 50 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's like, how long can the snow last? So that's affected our daily ticket sales, but that's been okay. We're still sitting on budget with strong seasons pass sales. And typically we're not budgeted to be open this time of year anyway. So it's kind of gravy right now, whatever does walk in the door.
Let's talk about what you've learned kind of in those first couple of days. And one of the things when we were talking before, you mentioned signage, and you mentioned just really, really practicing your walkthroughs as much as possible so that you were as prepared as possible. Can you speak a little bit to that, to both of those?
Yeah. We've done a lot of walkthroughs beforehand before we really knew what the technology would do for us. But we looked at lots of different scenarios of how can we take it from the level we're in of comfort for COVID and state requirements, and how can we tighten that up? So we kind of had our plans in place, walked through. So we felt like we had the system down pretty well. But as we all know, as soon as the public arrives, we learn a lot. So advice to all is have your signage templates ready to go. Don't make them permanent just yet. Do them on laminated pieces of paper first, because you'll probably change them 3 or 4 times because the arrow should now go that way, not that way. And just try to anticipate everything, try to do walkthroughs, think of every situation, but really be ready to adapt as you see where people naturally want to queue. Form a line, how do we guide them to where we want them? And, oh, that actually doesn't work where we wanted them because we didn't think of the food delivery truck showing up and now nobody can hear anything, so we need to have them line up over here instead. So there's all those scenarios that we just can't. We can try to predict and catch most of them, but there's always different ones. We also, similar to Christie, have found that we need a lot more people than we really didn't know. We thought we'd need more people for information outside. But we've got to have people out the front by the ticket office windows where people pick up their passes, and also out on the snow as we kick people out really quickly out of rentals of how to put their skis on and where to go, et cetera. So we've definitely upped our staff on that front, and getting them educated and finding a way that you can quickly change that education as things change. Because again, we've just been, I don't know how many scenarios that have happened that all of a sudden we've had to communicate something when we've realized a little gap in our system or a change in state requirements, et cetera.
One of the things that you mentioned in our pre-call was, just for little things that kind of slow you down, was that it was hard to hear through plexiglass and masks. Have you come up with, that's probably something you didn't think about in advance. Have you found a remedy for that at this point?
Yeah, we had thought about it for the ticket windows and had invested in some high-tech banking ticket window microphones, which are working great. But we hadn't really anticipated it in rentals and the cafe. So we did buy, and it's working well. We'll probably buy more, just a little intercom microphone. We've got it working in our cafe cash register area currently. $80 on Amazon, had good reviews, so we bought one. Doesn't work great in rentals because the counters aren't as wide, so we're getting interference, but that's working well in the cafe. So we're just looking for how can we separate the two mics a little bit more to make it work better in rentals. And we found a way in rentals, we think, to minimize the amount of speaking needed, which will help everybody's situation. Just send them outside and have people outside in warm jackets ready to give them the information.
Right. So that brings us to staffing. What have you done, or how have you changed your staffing plan kind of with COVID now? And are you able to find staff as needed?
Yeah, we're doing pretty well with our staffing. We actually upstaffed as much as possible. Excuse me, I got someone walking into my office here. We upstaffed kind of what we had last year. Can you pull the door too? So we upstaffed as much as possible, especially info type people and people that could go multiple places. They could teach a lesson, they could be an info person, they could be working in the rental shop. What we're finding is, so we're good on numbers, I think. Christmas hasn't hit yet though. What we're thinking is actually we're going to need a lot less people in rentals, and it's going to be a very different flow from the past. It's pretty cool to know now that we're not allowed to do any day of sales. We can look like today I got one rental, so I canceled all my rental people, and I'm hoping he doesn't show up while I'm on this call because I'm the rental person. But if I see, on the weekend we had 70 rentals, so I know I need three or four people, two or three people, whatever. So that's helping us with efficiencies. The big unknown is just that how many people we got to disinfect, how do we make that efficient? So is that one person? Is that the rental crew does the bathrooms and the ski patrol does the employee room? How do we get all that covered? So there's still some unknowns. So we're basically keeping on everybody and think that we're going to be able to use them at least in an information mode, or just be out and be our eyes and ears on the trails for the inevitable amount of people that are going to be out there with sleds and dogs and bikes and kids. So they'll become trail ambassadors on the clock if we're not putting them to work for normal ops.
Awesome. And let's move to revenue streams. I know from just looking at your Instagram pictures, the food that you guys put out over the summer just looked amazing. And you guys have decided to really scale that back. How will that affect your bottom line? And what other changes have you made, or you've been forced to make to your revenue streams?
Yeah, as I said, right now we're sitting on budget. We're not going to make our December budget, I'm pretty sure, just looking at the capacities we're going to be able to handle and safely handle.
Is that because of the California restrictions or because of your snow issues?
Well, we're hoping to get snow between now and then. There is a storm coming, so fingers crossed that'll deliver. More of just the if people show up with their own gear, we can put a lot of people out. If we don't have, we've got 20, we had 20K open, we're down to about 14 now. We don't want to put that many people on 14 kilometers because we've got the in and out trail that would just become too congested. So that's going to cap our numbers. Numbers in rentals, our busiest day, we can do 300 to 400 people through rentals. We did 70 over Thanksgiving, and maybe we can do 150 and still feel safe. So again, as our systems get streamlined, hopefully we can put a few more folks out if the trail capacity will allow that. Cafe is going to take a major hit in revenue. However, our expenses are going to be way down. So we're still working out how do we draw people in, how do we let people know that we have great food still, but you can't come inside to eat it on a cold day. So I'm anticipating that costs will be down, but also revenue will be down. Ski school, I think we're going to do to budget. Seasons passes ahead of budget, day tickets probably around budget, maybe a bit less depending on our snowpack.
Got it.
That's not COVID, that's Mother Nature.
Right. Awesome. Okay, thank you, Sally. Let's move to Richard White Pine Nordic. Richard, you were able to open for skiing, but then were forced to close, I think, that part of it due to a lack of snow issue. But talk to us a little bit about that, leading up to your opening day. I know you had a lot of skiers prior to that, and how your preparations fared with that group of people.
Yeah, thanks, Reese. We're getting ready for our third opening day after this weekend's snow. Actually, it's kind of worked out because we had snow before the shop was open, and it was tremendously busy on the snow. And then the snow has melted away, and the shop has been tremendously busy. But the staging has worked out to allow us to kind of adapt and adjust as we go on. So it's been, good and bad. It's actually been pretty nice to get the shop all open and sorted without thousands of people coming to want to go skiing. So what we've seen, and it's, pretty typical, is what has happened, for summer trailheads is every day is going to be a Saturday. Got a ton of new people in town. Visitors are still coming, despite our misgivings. And it's looking like it's just going to be nonstop busy as soon as the trails get reopened. We've redone signage. We've got a nice big tent outside for rentals. We've spaced everything out. So it's going to be busy, but I think we're in pretty good shape, anticipating some pretty good numbers. Our season pass sales were up, 500% over last year for preseason, with some changes we made. And hopefully, with more and more people having passes, it'll ease congestion in the shop, just get people out and on the snow. So we'll see how that goes.
How have you guys? I know you didn't do rentals your first week. Have you been open to do rentals yet or not?
No, we've just done a handful. We've done some rentals for some of our tours, some of our backcountry tours, snowshoeing and things like that. But we really haven't, hit the, I need 100 pairs of skis out at 10 o'clock in the morning kind of level yet. But it's coming, probably Sunday.
So what have been your biggest learnings other than just be prepared for onslaught every day? What have you changed since you put your new systems in place?
So it's been very interesting. Most of the things we've changed have been involving work rules and personnel. The restaurant adjacent to us is just reopening after a 2-week closure. They had COVID in their kitchen staff, which is, a slap in the face wake up call about employee health and safety. And I've had two people that have had to quarantine, both tested negative, but have had to quarantine because of exposure. One was a youth team coach. Another one was potentially exposed by, a roommate. And so those are kind of the wake-up calls for everybody, that if one of your staffers gets sick, it's not pretty. so far so good, and we're doing everything we can to be clean and healthy and safe. But every time one of those things happens and a business gets closed down or a restaurant gets closed down, it's just one of those kind of, hit you in the head that this is a serious game this year. As much fun as skiing is, the business side of it is interesting.
How has you mentioned your shop has been open even though you haven't been skiing? Talk to us about that. I guess that flow of people. Your sales, are they strong? What are people buying, et cetera?
Yes, we've definitively determined that the lack of snow has nothing to do with the lack of demand for ski gear. We had a huge year last year for ski sales, and we're up 40% this year with dry land outside the door. We've sold over a third of our total new ski inventory already. And common size boots, those 38, 39, 40 boots, are basically almost gone in both skate and classic. So people are buying equipment. New people have moved to town are buying equipment. We're getting a lot of people who are calling up saying, you know, we're going to ski Park City Mountain Resort and we're here for a week and we only could get 2 days on the mountain. What are we going to do? And so tour bookings, snowshoe tour bookings, backcountry ski tour bookings and lessons are just climbing every day. People are just looking for something to do because they can't get on the Alpine Hill. And then there are a lot of locals that are like, we're just going to Nordic ski this year because it's too crazy. The opening days at the Alpine areas were variously described impolitely as unpleasant to be a customer. So yeah, lots of confrontations with people at the ticket windows who just showed up expecting to be able to buy a day pass and were turned away. So there's a lot of anticipation of people looking for something else to do that isn't the Alpine.
Are you guys selling soft goods well also?
Soft goods are going remarkably well. It's kind of pre-Christmas, jackets and hats and gloves. We're doing a ton of gloves and jackets and pants online. We've started selling skis online. We've had people driving from Idaho down to outfit their entire families with gear because they can't find it where they're at. Every one of these is just, I look at the ski wall every afternoon and go, okay, I've got one pair of those left and two pairs of those. And there are no replacements in the pipeline. And we're kind of scrambling around to try to see what we can fill in that beginner and intermediate category. It's going to be by Christmas. It's going to be a little thin.
let's move on to staffing. I know you had a couple of thoughts on staffing, and certainly you mentioned what happened next door. I think you had thought over the summer and through our discussions that maybe you're going to need more staffing, so you started to go out and find those. Can you talk a little bit about where you think your staffing needs are going to be and how you've been able to fill that if you have?
Yeah, I started early in anticipation of needing more people, partially for insurance in case someone gets sick, partially because of expecting a lot of increase in demand. So I was able to track down some pretty good rental people, a couple of them experienced, a couple of them new, but very enthusiastic and seemingly quite intelligent. but I got them on early. And I've had them in for training and doing a lot of engagement to keep everybody interested and active while we're waiting for the snow to fly a little bit. Hired, six extra instructors this year. We're not going to do group lessons this year. We're only doing private and family pod lessons. And so we have kind of 12 slots scheduled every day that are on staggered times. And so from a revenue standpoint, private lessons are awesome. From a employee health and safety standpoint, they're also awesome because we're not putting, Tom from New Jersey and Betsy from California in the same lesson group. It's just not going to happen. So we'll have, extra instructors on every day, extra people around to help with anything with boot fitting, with information, with directions, how to put on your turnamic binding if you've never seen one before in your life, things like that, just to have helpful people around for the new customers we'll be seeing. But I did get started very early on hiring people. I don't want to be trying to look for somebody the week before Christmas.
Yeah, one of the things you mentioned this summer was you never want to turn a lesson away. Do you think you're staffed up well enough to cover those?
I sure hope so. with a fixed block of lessons, It's unlikely that a random walk-in will be able to be helped. We've revamped the reservations on the website. We've revamped the promotional and marketing materials to encourage people to make that reservation. And by going strictly to privates, the group lessons were where we'd have a lot of walk-ins. And by going just to private lessons, it's going to reduce that. People are planning ahead. We're also seeing a lot of people that are transferring over from Alpine that are used to making reservations for lessons and ski schools and equipment.
Right.
And so it's actually pretty easy to work with them.
Any issues with people wearing masks versus, people following the rules? Have you had any problems there?
We are a zero tolerance for no masks. We've got signage, postage, the county and the city are aggressively 100% mask. And if somebody wants to write a negative review of us because we kicked them out for not wearing a mask, I'm totally okay with that.
That would be a good thing. Okay.
We have been authorized to do whatever is necessary to remove someone who refuses to follow the rules.
Got it. Cool. All right. Thank you, Richard. We'll move on to Chris from Mount Van Hovenberg. I see that you're driving, Chris. I hope you can multitask here. your mic is muted, so unmute yourself. Or let me see if I can unmute. Yeah, Chris, can you? Oh, there you go.
Good. I'm pulled over.
Uh-oh. Okay. Let's hope we can hear you. So certainly Van Ho did a complete construction project this summer. Let's not talk about that, but talk about kind of opening your early, those first couple of days, and were your preparations, did your preparations leave you in a good place for those opening couple of days?
Yep. So we opened on the day after Thanksgiving, and it was loosely marketed. We had blown snow so that we could be opening. We have a new snowmaking system, and so we got about a kilometer and a half of snow out, and we ended up being quite busy. We had our new lodge here at Mount Van Hovenberg. We ended up having just about 200 skiers that came in first thing on Saturday morning, and we were open with other activities at the venue. And there was a mix of season pass holders, teams, and a lot of people who had never been cross-country skiers that migrated to Lake Placid to experience snow.
And your preparations were good. Did you have any issues with crowd control or any of that?
No, not really. So we've been open all summer within the venues, the ski jumps in Mount Van Hovenberg, with different public programs and from zip lines to mountain coasters and those kinds of things. So we have a pretty good protocol as far as accepting guests onto the site they're here for. I think the thing that we're struggling with now is that within state regulations we have to know everyone that's on the venue and have their phone number, their email, and contact information for potential contact tracing. And so our newer guests or folks that aren't typical Mount Van Hovenberg skiers, they've been great. They either through online information or we have a process by which they can come in the lodge and social distance, and there's pathways for all of that. They've been wonderful. Our trouble children have been our long timers or season pass holders that want to do it the same way they've always done it. And so we've spent a fair amount of time trying to run them down and communicate that we at least need to know when they're there. And so we're doing some upgrades to our system. So we're actually installing, hopefully it'll be in before Christmas, is an RFID gate system. Same thing as an Alpine venue, that the access points for the trail at the venue.
So once that happens, that will be your contact tracing. All the information you need will be gathered right there.
Yep. So everyone who goes through, if they purchase the day ticket, which we're encouraging folks to do it online, that they can then have that. We'll have a Dropbox if they want a physical one, or through their phone they can use that as well as they pass through the gate, or if they of course have their RFID season pass. They pass through the gate, we'll know that they're on the trail, and we'll know when they're gone, and if we need to for contact tracing, we'll have all their information in their profile.
So, and is your, certainly I haven't seen the new venue, is it set up so that there's only one point of entry so you actually can control that?
Yeah, we have, it's, here, actually, I am parked in front of it. Here, one parking lot. So previously at Van Hovenberg, where the bobsled run and those sorts of the other amenities of Van Hovenberg, we had multiple entry points. And so with the new construction, we've combined everything into one lodge, one parking lot, and one entry point for everything. And so for skiing, all access is for the general public in one location. And then there's another access point for teams or event skiers. So we've managed to, in the build, sort of separate or have the ability to separate competitive or team-based skiing from recreational skiing, and can manage those things separately and limit the impact that they have on each other. And so, and that's part of our COVID plan with guests too. We've started to see, I mean, of course, the local junior team is here, but we've started to have the college teams that are not really functioning, but come in loosely on the weekends. And I'm expecting that when we get to the holidays and after that, we'll see a lot of that. So for them, we have a separate location for them to access the venue.
Got it. What about staffing? I mean, obviously you're a pretty large operation, so I'm sure you can share staff across multiple platforms, but have you been able to, have you made any changes to your staffing in light of the new COVID protocols?
Yeah. So for us in New York, the biggest one has been for youth and kids programs, there has to be maintained a 1-to-6 ratio from instructor years. And so for us, and kind of as Richard was saying, I started working in the summer trying to bring on new people to be instructors. And so for us, we have both full-time instructors and then people who we can kind of bring in at higher points or ones that are a little bit more on call. And so for us, we haven't quite doubled the number of on-callers, but we're right now just a little over 20 people who are part of our ski education staff. There's six in that. There's six full-timers, and then the rest of them are people that we can bring in for programs or after-school things. So for us, we manage the community ski programs with the local, you know, we can have 50, you know, elementary school-age children coming, and we have the space to keep them apart, but for us to maintain lessons and ongoing activities here while we, you know, then have to dedicate to that group, you know, between the management, is a lot. So we've increased those numbers. And as far as lodge and general operations and rentals and those other pieces, is that with a new lodge, we had to already plan for new staffing. So we've kind of been able to increase that, but we're actually having kind of a hard time with staff on being able to commit to being here, is that we've had a number of folks who've been here for a long time who chose to opt out of participating with us this season because of their own concerns with COVID. The Lake Placid area has been really fortunate in the last 9 months, and that we've had very few cases in the area, and we've managed to, anyway, but with that, especially a lot of our older instructors and staff members have decided to take a pause on participating with us this year, and so that's been a little more complicated, but yeah, staffing-wise, it's just mostly been more for instructors and planning for what we assume in the holiday times are going to be large numbers. I guess another thing we've changed is a lot of the regional schools here. It's very rural, and there's a lot of school districts here for kind of each town. Is a lot of them are either partially remote or fully remote. And so something that we've had is that a number of those schools have created either high school teams or middle and elementary school teams. So we have a whole new group of skiers that we've never dealt with, and they're planning, and we've scheduled them in on sort of the off times or slower times. And so with that example, there's a school district that's about 6 miles from us in Keene that traditionally is not really engaged in cross-country skiing, and in the summertime we made a pitch to their school board and their athletic director and superintendent that we'd help them start programs. So anyway, we have signed up through their school system almost 60 kids who are going to participate. And so basically from 9 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon on Wednesdays, the venue is theirs on non-holidays, and we'll be working with them. So for us, it's been an opportunity to, we have to increase staff, but we've managed to create a lot of new, or potentially create a lot of new skiers. And so, because in New York, too, with high school sports, basketball and hockey, which are, especially hockey regionally, is very popular, is that the governor is not allowing those sports this year. So we've been actively pursuing anyone who would otherwise be doing those things to come out and try and cross country skiing.
Got it. Thank you, Chris. I want to move to Nick from Woodstock. But first, Richard, there's a question from Mark up in Gatineau about how you define your private and semi-private lessons. Maybe you can address that in the chat with him. Nick. So Nick is in at Woodstock Nordic, Nick, you guys have not been open yet, but your retail and repair have. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, and also touch on, you know, one of the things we've mentioned a little bit is some of the state restrictions and how they're impacting us. And I know you and I had a conversation last week about the incredibly strict state restrictions here in Vermont. So talk a little bit about that also, if you would.
Sure. Thanks, Reese. So our retail store has been open for a little over a week now, and it's been very steady, busy. You know, retail sales are definitely up over previous seasons, primarily for hard goods. Skis are definitely going out relatively quickly, and I think as Richard was alluding to, we're going to end up with some holes pretty fast here in some key pieces, boots, bindings. It's very challenging, obviously, to find any resupply whatsoever. Kids ski gear has been really strong for us. We did a lot of preseason ordering for some of the local families, and kids ski gear has been flying off the walls. Soft goods, maybe not quite as strong yet, but a lot of our soft goods sales are typically our, you know, I forgot a glove, I forgot hats kind of thing when we're open for skiing. Service and repairs have been kind of, I don't know, double, triple, quadruple what we've normally seen this time of year. A lot of people definitely bringing in skis that have been in their garage or barn for a while. Lots of old hard clister and kick wax to clean off of classic skis. And taking old bindings off of really old skis and putting new bindings on because people want new boots and bindings, but they're keeping their 40-year-old skis, that kind of stuff. So that's been really strong. And I think, you know, certainly once we get open, the retail sales will continue to be really solid. And I don't know, the weather's looking maybe next week for us. As far as some of the restrictions that Reese alluded to, yeah, we're certainly under a pretty conservative government here with a pretty tight travel lockdowns. And I think that's where a little bit of our concern with a revenue stream is. You know, it's really challenging to day trip into Vermont, if not really impossible, if you follow the rules. We have some pretty strict guidance from the state. We have to do contact tracing, as Chris was mentioning, for everybody on property. And that includes our season pass holders. So they're all going to have to sign in daily. And we're working to make that online as well as in person. So if they decide quickly after work, they want to come by and go skiing, they can do that. Or if they plan ahead, they can do it first thing in the morning online. I think the big piece that's really challenging for us is the loss of any of our junior programs and high school sports. Right now, that's indefinitely on hold in Vermont. So, you know, I would say probably a third of our season pass sales are to our teams, whether it's our youth program or our high school team. We're not seeing those. And I think that I'm hopeful that most of those kids and their families will continue to ski. But it definitely doesn't seem like there's the potential for much reversal with that guidance from the governor, at least at the moment.
Yep. You went one parking lot farther.
So Nick, talk a little bit about your revenue stream, and you know what your thoughts are now compared to what they were earlier, and are there any changes you can make now to salvage any of those?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big concern, you know, we're associated with a resort here at the Woodstock Inn, and with the travel guidance, our reservations are tailing off, and our people are canceling their Christmas trips. We've got a 2-week window, which you can cancel without any penalty. And we're just outside of that right now. So we've been losing Christmas week reservations daily. We're down below or right at 50% occupancy for the inn, where we're normally at 100. And that will definitely have a solid impact on our revenue stream, at least for that period of time. You know, and that impacts, you know, they're the ones that are coming in that are buying the impulse retail items, or even in some cases, you know, the big ticket retail items. You know, they're buying the day tickets, the rentals, and generally spending a significant amount of money with us. So there's a little bit of concern that is going to be diminished this year. I mean, I don't see any way that it's not going to be diminished. And then it just is, how long does that continue into the winter, right? Do we see a change for February break, which is even a bigger revenue week for us than Christmas? Or is that going to tail off? And then I guess, Reese, to your point, like, can we make that up somewhere? You know, I think there's a little bit of opportunity to make that up in season pass sales. Those are ahead of last year, and we've had a lot of new families move into the area. I mean, it's basically repeating what everybody else is saying and seeing. You know, so I think there's some room for season pass sales to you know, take a little of that sting away.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Nick. We're just past 3:00, so I think we will wrap this up. Thanks to all of our presenters today. That was awesome. I think I know it's been fascinating for me to talk to so many of you from around the country and just hear what's going on the ground, and just helps us paint a really good picture. Our next Zoom call is scheduled for January 6th. It's going to be the week after after holiday week. So I think that's going to be super interesting to hear about how everyone was able to survive holiday week. I think we'll dive in a little more to some of the specifics of the operations on that call, which will be interesting. And also, I just want to point out that I did send a survey out to all of our ski areas, I guess earlier this week or last week, if, you know, and ask that you send that out to your, there's a consumer survey there. We're trying to get information from, you know, what's going on in the marketplace from consumers. So if you could share that on Facebook and everywhere else. And there's also, I attached a retailer survey. If you have a pretty robust retail operation, you could fill that out and that would be helpful. All right. With that said, thank you very much. If I don't talk to any of you before the holiday, have a great holiday, and we will reconvene in January.